Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Facing Your Fears with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Ingrid Green Adams. Evangelist Norma Chapman is the host of Facing Your Fears Blog Talk Radio Show. She's interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can Do, and she's currently writing 3 other books. She studied criminal justice and criminal law and attended Union Baptist Theological College in New Orleans. Worked as a criminal and civil private investigator for over 30 years. She's an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. She's a member of First District Missionary Baptist Association Women's Auxiliary. She sits on the NAACP Executive Committee, also the SCLC Justice for Girls. She's a big supporter and loves standing in the gap for domestic violence victims and survivors, and eagerly wants to put an end to domestic violence by getting help for the abusers, eventually, as well as the poetry leader of Elk, resident of St. Charles Parish. Ladies and gentlemen, Facing Your Fears, with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Ingrid Green Adams.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in on Facing Your Fears radio talk show on today, with your host, yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Our special guest today is joining us once again to support Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Yes, the month of October, as some may know, is Domestic Awareness Month. Before we begin our show, another very special guest, Pastor Doris Smith, will lead us into a short prayer, and then we will be introducing our special guest on today, which will be Mrs. Missy Lane out of Texas. Yes, Mrs. Missy Lane out of Texas. I'm so excited to have them both back on Facing Your Fears on today. Pastor Smith, you may lead us into a word of prayer at this time.
Blessings, praise God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask for your blessings and your guidance tonight as we lift up before you tonight the host of Facing Your Fears radio talk show, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and our special guest tonight, Missy Lane. Once she was bound, praise God, but tonight we give you thanks and praise that she's free. We pray tonight, God, as she brings forth a word of inspiration and motivation and encouragement to our listeners tonight, that those that are bound will too be free. We ask that your blessings be upon this show tonight and upon all those that are connecting in from near and far. In Jesus' name we do pray and we say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Smith, for that encouraging prayer on today. Today's episode topic is survival. Yes, survival. Remember, you can join in on this amazing, awesome conversation by pressing the number 1 on your phone with any comments or questions you may have, or to share any experience on today's topic with special guest Missy Lane. Today, she will be discussing domestic, survival, determination, homicide, abuse, relationships, addiction, and much, much more. Good evening, Mrs. Missy Lane.
Hello, Miss Norma. How are you?
I'm blessed on today. Let me do a little introduction of what the topic will be about on today, and then you can give the listeners a little short bio on yourself. Missy Lane was a beauty queen, studying to become a surgeon and end up in prison facing 40 years sentence for a vehicle homicide, a cocaine addiction combined with a domestic abuse relationship left her stripped of her identity. She didn't know what music or food she liked because her abuser dictated everything, even the clothes she wore. After being held hostage for 3 days, Missy knew she and her son had to get away. Thank you for coming on the show today, Miss Lane. And also we have another very special guest, Pastor Doris Smith out of Florida. Yes, both of them. I'm so happy and excited to have them on the show on today. First, we will let Pastor Smith do a little short introduction about herself, and then I want to let Missy Lane, our special guest on today, give you a little bio about herself, and then we'll be into the topic on today's episode. Happy Smith.
Good evening. God bless you all as you're connected in on this line tonight. Just want to take a moment. I am so excited tonight to hear our special guest tonight to share her story, which I truly believe is going to bless many tonight. I am pastoring of Greater Works Miracle Ministry. Most importantly, I am a servant. Enjoy assisting people to transform their life, changing fear to focus. Praise God. I am an author of a book called Inspirational Voices of Hope. I'd like to thank you, Evangelist Norma, for the opportunity to come back on the line. I'm also the host of the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation through the Word of God and the power of prayer. We are on every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can dial in by dialing 1-712-775-7031, and the access code would be 710-569 and the pound. We would love for you to join us. Back over to our special guest.
Thank you, Pastor Smith, at the end of the show. I would like you to make the announcement again to make sure all of the listeners on today can get that important, informative information on how to tune in on the prayer line every, what you said,
Tuesday and Thursday.
All right. Now we will hear from our special guest, Mrs. Lane out of Texas. She's going to give you a short bio on herself, and then shortly afterwards, she will begin sharing you her true profound story of survival. Yes. You can remember, listeners, you can tune in on this conversation by pressing the number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, or any experience in reference to our topic on today. Good evening, Ms. Lane. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
God bless you. God bless you. I'm excited to have you as well on the show on today. And would you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and before you get into your topic on today's topic, survival?
Yes, ma'am. Well, just as you mentioned before, I was in medical school studying to be a surgeon. I found out my husband of 10 years had another woman pregnant, went into a depression. Just started making some poor choices in life, tried cocaine at age 31 for the first time, and became addicted right away. That progressed into a crack cocaine addiction, which took me down for 10 years. During that addiction, I fell in love with my drug dealer, who ended up being the father of my son, and he was the first man that ever hit me. Never been around domestic abuse, never had it in my family that I knew about, and it floored me. I used to be that person that not so much outwardly and consciously would judge other women, but, you know, I used to see women with black eyes, and I would think, well, you know, she's just, you know, how sad that she's not smart enough to know that's not real love. You know, she's not strong enough to lead. And I never understood it until I lived it, and now I have such complete empathy and passion and compassion for it because I understand it completely. So that domestic abuse stripped me of my identity, took everything that I knew of myself away, along with the cocaine addiction, doing the same. I ended up in prison after having a wreck which killed someone. I was facing a 40-year sentence. I didn't think there was an end in sight. I thought my life was over, not to mention I felt guilty with every single breath I took because I felt I didn't deserve to be alive. I worked through that. My oldest daughter was instrumental in helping me get through and forgive myself. I used writing. That's what saved my life. I ended up writing my book over 7 months while I was waiting sentencing. My best-selling book is What Goes Up. And after my grandbaby, I got a reduced sentence. I did 2.5 years incarceration, came home, rebuilt my life. 9 years later, my first grandchild was born on the same exact date, September 18th, that the wreck had happened. September 18th, which is also the day I married her dad, September 18th. So it was a very, that September 18th is a very special day. My grandbaby was born with an oxygen deprivation. She suffered a brain injury, so she's blind and deaf. She doesn't suck or cry. She has a feeding tube, all kinds of issues. And I let the devil convince me that my past was the punishment for that. That was the punishment. That was my fault. That was my doing. Because, I mean, it couldn't be coincidence. That date just couldn't have been a coincidence. So I really felt it was my fault. And then I realized that God doesn't love like that. I also realized that I was much stronger than I was giving myself credit for. I realized the things I had lived through and survived through and overcome and had overcome, that I had an obligation to go out and help others, because how many people out there are letting their past rob them of their future? I mean, I was doing it subconsciously, so I knew others were doing it too. So I made it my life mission. I made it my vow to my God that I serve, that's what I'm going to do. And so I have spent the last year and a half rewriting my book from a place, it was written in jail, so it was written in a very dark place where it was full of anger and blame. 12 years later, it was rewritten of a place of forgiveness and accountability and hope. And I released it May 15th. Been, you know, very blessed. It made bestseller. I'm out speaking all over, just promoting transparency, because I believe stepping forward and being that one to speak your real raw truth is how others are going to learn and become educated. And through education, we can judge less and mentor more. And that's my mission, and that's what I'm doing, Miss Norma. So that's Miss Norma. I'm a survivor.
Can you share with us, this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, as you know, those of you out there may have heard Mrs. Lane's story. She was a previous guest on Facing Your Fears. But since this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I promised her that we would connect again in the month of October. And she's back again today so she can share with our listeners on today how important it is for someone to be in an abusive, domestic violence, abusive environment, how important it is for them to realize that there is help for them and they need to get out of that situation, that type of environment. As you know, I know it's not easy, you know, I know it's hard for some, but what can you share with our listeners on today to encourage them, those that need encouraging and those that do not know that there is a way out, that they can escape from this type of environment? What can you share with our listeners on today?
Well, I can share this, Miss Norma. There is hope, but I can tell you, if someone's listening that's in that place now, I know exactly what they're going through. I know they feel that it's hopeless. I know they feel fear. I know they feel scared to walk out the door, not knowing what's out there, not knowing how to even be themselves. Because like I said, you know, I was a Texas beauty queen. I was in college. I had gotten into medical school. I was on top of the world. I was a strong, independent woman. But after letting him dictate my life to me, I became very timid. I became very insecure. So if you're in that place and you're listening, I understand. I get it. You're scared. You don't know what's out there. You don't trust in yourself. You're insecure. But you have to take a step forward. You have to take action, because you have to break that generational cycle. If you have children, it's gonna carry on. You cannot let it carry on. You have to break the cycle, and you have to be bold, and you have to make those big choices. You know, he held me hostage for 3 days. I had to flee in the middle of the night. I've had to climb out windows. I ran away and went into hiding in a whole other state, and he chased me down and found me. And here's the key. Here's the ticket. Someone that's abusive, they're very clever. They're very manipulative. They will find every insecurity, Miss Norma, that we have, and they're going to use it against us. They're going to use it. So what happened in my case is I would run away. He would find me, and then he would use scripture against me. because he had changed and he would use scripture to have us son together. Well, God says to forgive, and I'm a new man, and God created me to be this dad to our son, and I believed every word of it. And honestly, I think he did too. I think he wanted to be that new man. But, you know, it just, his old self would always come back out, always come back out. So the number one advice I'm going to say is, I know people can change because I did. I changed. But it's God that changes you. You don't just do it. God's going to change you. And I would say, get out, stay away at least 2 years. And if that person has truly changed, you're going to know. Don't go back for 2 years because it's so easy for them to fall right back into hitting you and using you again to make themselves feel better.
Well, Ms. Lane, would you agree with me if I say even if you leave for 2 years and your abuser, if you're still contacted in any way with your abuser, is it so easy to be led and be a need? If one tell you, well, I've changed and you've gone for 2 years, but you're still connected and talking to them, would you agree with me if you've been in an abusive situation for many, many years, my advice to that person that's in that type of environment is to get out and stay out. Because if you go back for 2 years and you're not quite sure that this person has had any type of counseling or he's not connected or he or she is not connected under the protection of God, then how could you be sure that this won't, maybe the next time you go back within the 2 years, it could be the time that he can take or she can take your life.
You know, it could be. You're right, Ms. Norman.
It could lead into a deadly situation. So my advice now, my advice to a person that's in that type of environment is stay out, especially if you've been in it for many, many years. If he hasn't changed in over months and years and you've been in this type of environment, what make you think he is going to change in 2 years?
Yeah. The reason now, here's why I say it like that, because first of all, someone in that situation is scared. They're scared to leave. So the thought of walking out the door and being on their own for the rest of their life is too fearful. But if they put a measurement on it, if they say, okay, I'm going to do this for 2 years, oftentimes they're never going to go back because, number one, they're going to gain their own confidence. Number two, they're going to see just how manipulative that person's been with them on their own. They're going to discover that. And number three, oftentimes the abuser isn't going to do better. So it's really just a stepping stone to give them a measurable time frame. Because if you just say get out and stay out, I mean, I was in it. I know. It's too scary. Forever is a long time, and you don't know what you're going to do, and you don't know how you're going to live, and you have to support yourself. But if you say, okay, I'm leaving for 2 years, and often another thing that does is it takes that abuser, instead of you walking out on them and leaving them and them feeling threatened, it gives them a time frame to cool off. And they know that, okay, she's given me 2 years to straighten up. Because a lot of times they want to do better. They do. So it kind of takes the heat off of the situation.
Right, but if I could be allowed to say this, sometimes when you're in an abusive situation, I'm going to put it like a deadly domestic violence environment. They abuse you sometimes when you leave. They look for you when they find you. If it's 2 years, I've known some has been gone longer than that, and when they spot them, they have taken their lives because they're angry.
That's right.
Because you left them. And then when you go back, it's going to be a confrontation saying that, what was you doing for 2 years? And there's so much things that can come up, so much conversation can come up. And then there you is, you're back into this environment again, not knowing why. I mean, for 2 years you've been gone. So for 2 years you should be able to determine where you're going, where your future's going to go. You should be able to be in counseling for yourself, be able to support yourself, be able to not to be depending on your abuse. You should be independent. In 2 years,
that's right,
you should be able to have someone that you should be prayed up, and you should have confidence and know that I can do this. I don't need to live like I've been living for years, for months, for days. And God has given me the courage, has given me the strength, and I finally made up my mind to get up, because most of the time it takes 7 times when they do leave, go back, leave, go back, leave, go back. And sometimes they don't make it to 7 times to leave. Within those 7 times, the abuser kills them. And like my situation, my abuser killed himself, shot me, stabbed me, thought I was dead, and took his own life. So, you know, you're taking a chance, listeners out there. If you know, my advice to you, my advice. Now, you may be in a situation where Missy was in, but I was not in an abusive situation. It happened that day. It didn't happen. I wasn't in it for months, for days, for weeks, for years. The day that it happened was when it happened. He had made up his mind to kill himself and me, too. So, you know, when you see signs, and there are warning signs out there, listen to what someone curses you or degrades you or verbally misuse you or physically misuse you. The time is to get out then, right then and there. Do not wait
That's
for
right.
you to change or her to change. Leave and run as fast as you can and do not look back. And I'm going to give you the scripture like Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind you, you better press forward. I mean, press forward and looking for Jesus and his Father, God in heaven, to carry you through. And I know Pastor Smith has a word to say on this since we're on the issue of the religious part of it. Let's hear from our guest, Pastor Doris Smith, and see what type of encouragement that she gives to our listeners out there today. Pastor Smith.
Yes, I truly would just like to take a moment to encourage you. In these type of relationships, what I've found from counseling and ministering to couples that are going through domestic violence, what I find is the majority of the time the abuser, him, and not only him all the time, sometimes the abuser is her. The abuser themselves are fearful. The abuser themselves are afraid. And the only way they can maintain their ability to control is through inflicting fear and inflicting pain. But what I hear Missy saying is that in the midst of life happening in this abusive relationship, she did not allow the pain to hold her hostage. She did not allow the fear to continue to hold her hostage. One thing we have to do, and many women fall into this, they fall into it out of loneliness. They fall into it out of fear. They fall into it out of drug connections, making wrong choices, which leads to wrong decisions. And as Missy has so beautifully shared, where it led her from a place of high to lows. But the beautiful thing about it, when you have God in your life, praise God, and he gives you an open door, take it. Because whatever is meant to be in your life, it will be. Many a times we subject ourselves to deadly situations because we are trying to fix what we cannot fix. We are trying to change what we cannot change. Many women come in and say, well, Pastor, you know, he loves me. I did something to make him hit me. No, you didn't. Hitting you was already in him. That's who he is. And he can't change that. That has to be something he's willing to come away from. When you walk away from a dangerous situation where your life has in any way been physically threatened, you need to keep walking. Unless the Lord speak to you or show you the change, experience the change, because most of the time they are so afraid. And when they lose that control, when they feel like they're losing that control, that's when they act. That's when they feel desperate. I got to do something. Because I'm losing this control. And see, once they get you there and get you so full of fear and get you to the point where you're afraid even for the raising of their voice, they don't only do that to the woman, they do it to the children. There are many cases where not only the woman is being abused, but the children are being abused. And we have got to get to the place where for nothing else, you refuse to allow not only yourself, but especially your children to fall to abuse. When the door opens for you to come out of an abusive relationship, walk out. Don't allow them to tell you, oh, I won't hit you no more. If he hits you one time, he's going to hit you 2 times. If he hits you 2 times, he's going to hit you 3 times. Unless he gets some help, he's not going to change.
Okay.
And he has to be willing to get the help to change.
Miss Missy, you know, we have a lot to thank God for. I could be dead today, and you could be doing 40 years in prison before you may have, you know, look what happened in the midst of being in that abusive situation. You know, you were facing 40 years sentence there, you know, and then you were stripped of all of your dignity. You know, you couldn't even choose what type of food, what type of music, and this is your story that you gave to me, what type of clothes you want to wear. They got some abusers out there who make their mothers stand there and look at them actually sexually abuse their own children, their own daughters, their own sons.
Right.
You know, that's right. I cry out today for those who live in that environment. But let me say this to you. We have some listeners out there on today, and I don't want to wait too long to bring them in with the comments, and one has hung up already. Let's open up the lines early on today, and we're going to continue the story, and that's what the listeners have to say on today. Okay. Caller, we have a phone number on 373, last four digits, 8669. You are on the air.
Hey, Misty Lane, how you doing? Julius Mercer from Chicago.
Oh, hi, Julius. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks. I got your text, and I just happened to be at home, laid back, chilling. And I said, let me tune into this radio station. And so I'm Julius Mercer. It's nice to hear you ladies' response. I think were you in New Orleans somewhere?
New Orleans.
Miami, and Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting Misty Lane in Rockford, Illinois at a special event where we had a lot of things in common. We're both authors. And so, I have a question. Is this particular, because I tuned in a few minutes late, is this particular subject on domestic violence, is it especially about men? Causing men's role in domestic violence or domestic violence as a whole?
If you can allow me as the host to answer that question, I'm Evangelist Norma Chapman. I'm also a domestic violence survivor. I'm the author of the book, What Faith Can Do. No, as a matter of fact, we have more aggressive women out here today than the men.
That's
so we're speaking to men and women. The abusers are men and women, and the victims are men and women, and boys and girls. So we're speaking to both. Yeah, because, you know, nowadays, you know, you have women just as aggressive as men. So, no, this is just for anybody who's living in that type of environment, and we're crying out to them to get out of it. But I'll let Misty answer you as well and give a – and because I think the question was directed to Misty, but I just wanted to answer it because I didn't want you to think that Faith in Your Fears radio talk show was just based on, as a matter of fact, I am a strong supporter of the abuser. And because if we can get help for the abusers and find out why they're abusing, then we'll have less victims. You see, so it's not just about the victims. The abusers has an issue that's going on in their life that they have not or come from behind the mask. Something on the inside of them, how we know they hadn't been abused from a child, or what caused them to be abusive. And this is what I basically supporting with Facing Your Fears in reference to domestic violence in general. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Yes, Evangelist, because when I came, I heard a lot of your response was, he made a choice. He did this. He did that. So that's what confused me. Okay, and the other thing was I think it's a great conversation. I'm a patient advocate to mental health because years ago, 22 years ago, I suffered for 2.5 decades of untreated mental health crisis. From a culture shock that led to psychotic behavior where I became homicidal and suicidal. And but for the grace of God and the medical professions, and, you know, I got my whole mind is back in remission, back to, you know, normalcy. And
thank
then
God.
I travel and speak a lot. And So I became violent and to self and to others, and people were the fears, you know, people were afraid to be around me. But what I want to mention also is I heard someone else, another lady, she responded about mental health, drug abuse, et cetera, some of these things can cause. So in many, many cases, like in mine, originally when I had some depression and I ended up in a hospital with a suicide attempt, I was asked in the hospital, would I like to see a doctor? And I said no. And I said no because of my own fears of being locked up forever in a mental hospital and the stigma of what people think of mental health illness kept me quiet for 20 years. Because also I was a social worker, and I thought I could fix myself. But the stigma was huge. And so because I didn't get the help, then I escalated. I was emotionally vulnerable, spiritually and emotionally vulnerable, period. And I didn't know this until several years later when I was faced with intense stressors, crisis in a relationship, divorce. My dad died in my arms. The things that I never fixed, they opened back up and causes more problems in my brain, okay? And so I ended up with suicide attempts and more hospitalizations, and many people who, and then subsequently led to an addiction. But many people who knew me for years, only thing they saw was the addiction, the using. He's a drug addict. But what they didn't see was understand was at some point in when people have stressors that escalate to depression and they don't have those coping skills to deal with their personal turmoil and conflict in relationships, social and personal, just like one of your co-hosts or whatever had mentioned, a person's mind, like mine, can escalate to a point where you are not able to make rational decisions, rational.
Right.
But the average person will see you and go, you know what you're doing. You made a choice. You're making choices, but they have no idea that the mind has slipped to what's irrational. And that, it took me to stop using for 11 years from the cocaine, and then it also took me 2 years of therapy and spiritual component, my spirituality enhancement for more moral guidance, and then it took therapy for new coping skills to deal with situations, and now things are more wonderful.
Okay, well,
right.
Let me say this quickly. To call me back and maybe have you on the show to continue your conversation, maybe on a special treatments for being in the situation. Maybe someone listening out there is in the same situation you are. So if you can stay tuned in and allow me to give you the information how to contact me or allow me to use your information to call you, I'll have you on the show as a special guest, and we can discuss that topic. But we have a lot of more callers out there today, and I don't want to lose them, and one have hung up that wants to ask a question or share their story. But stay tuned, and we will give you information on how you can contact me later. Maybe you can come on Facing Your Fears, and then you can be the guest where you can actually have time to share your story. God bless you, and thank you for calling
thank
in
you.
On today.
Thank hey, you, Jillian.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. Error code 914, last four digits, 8802. Hello, you on the air?
Hello,
how
are you
doing?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you good.
Excellent. My name is Stephen Smith. I'm calling you here from Sarasota, Florida.
Oh, thanks, Stephen.
You're welcome. And I know Misty Lane. I've known Misty for, I think, about a half a year or so or better. But I know her story, and there's more to it than just abuse. I know that is the focus here. What I wanted to do was this. I know that there was discussion about the abuser and the abused, and I know that Misty is a survivor. I'll say that I'm a survivor of my own abuse to myself by the choices that I made, but I've overcome that as well. And
thank
so,
God.
Yes, exactly. And so,
thank God.
You know, my whole thing is about these days, I've got one word that's the why, and that is empowerment, and that's what I do. I speak about empowerment and hope. But I wanted to read, because I know that we're talking as well to some believers, and for the believers out here, I just wanted to share this. It's Luke 6, 29, and it says, but who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on your cheek, turn them the other cheek. If someone also takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give everyone who asks from you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others what you would have them do to you. And then go on to verse 35. It says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend them without expecting to get something back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, because he is the kind to because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And so this is where forgiveness comes in.
Right.
And
okay, let me ask.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying that to hate your abuser. I'm not saying that. But let me say to you that on another biblical point of view, do you think God wants his children to be abused, misused? Because God is not the author of no confusion. And if there's confusion anywhere in a marriage or a relationship, then God is nowhere there. And then this is what, and God would not want you to stay in an abusive situation to where you are being held hostage, where you're being, has shackles, because you want to lose those shackles. And the only way that you can get to understand that scripture literally is that God means that you know, he's not the author of no type of someone cursing you, stomping you, beating you, treating you.
That's right.
God is love. God is kind. God is gentle. God is understanding. So in a relationship, what we're talking about, like when the person shot me and almost took my life, and then he killed himself. My children were 6 and 9 at the time. He could have flipped and killed us all in the house. I've known some situations here in New Orleans where they've killed the whole family. I know some situations where they have looked for them right here in the city of New Orleans, where the abuser have actually shot their victims in the streets, found them, looked them up, and killed them on the spot. So what I'm saying is that we're not saying not to forgive them. Yes, you have to have a forgiving heart, and we must love you one another if we want to make it in. But what I am emphasizing on the fact that, you know, leave out of that environment. You can love your abuser without staying in the house with them. You can love your abuser without letting them beat you, stomp you, and take your life and beat on your children.
That's right.
And you can love your abuser. Yes, forgive your abuser and move on in life. But get out of
I agree, and that's where the spiritual discernment comes in. I believe that's where the spiritual discernment comes in, so that, in fact, yes, if it is a situation, and sometimes it can certainly be exactly that, because we can't control the other person,
you
have to use and pray about it and have the discernment to be able to step back. Just because we love them doesn't mean
we're missing. And I think that Miss Lane or any of victim that's on the air today that's tuned in on this show, if there's any abusers that's listening in on today, what we're saying is very important, and I think that everyone had a part, even the gentleman out of Illinois. And I thank you for calling in from Florida. I thank you for sharing your story. But the main thing is knowing who you are, identifying who you are, and getting a connection with God. And without God, neither one of us wouldn't be here today. No one that was
That's
on
right.
drugs, because you don't even have
That's
to be
right.
in an abusive situation. That's a whole other topic, being addicted to drugs, because drugs is Satan. It's Satan himself. And when Satan is involved in anything, he would have anybody to do anything, right? But we know one thing, God is love, and God wants us to live a productive meaningful life. He wants us to be beautiful. He made us in his own image. We are beautiful. Whether you're a male or a female, you are not made to be kicked around, to be beat around. And once you mm-hmm. marry somebody, your vows are the what? To love and to cherish one another, not mm-hmm. to abuse, kick around, and cuss them and stomp them, and not, and especially not to choose whether they should live or die. Mm-hmm. So we thank you for calling in. We have so many callers today. So many people have comments.
Thank you.
Please allow me to get to someone. Stay tuned in, though, and then you can get my information.
I will call Missy,
I can have you as well on the show to share your story. God bless you, and thank you for calling
in.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to go to our next caller on today. Calling error code 503, last four digits, 8743. Let me express this to everyone that will listen. Keep your number one button pressed, and I will get to you. I will get to you. Okay? So I'm sorry. I look like I lost my caller. No, I'm going to go back to error code 503. Last four digits, 8743. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Hi, Misty.
Hello.
Good evening.
This is Susan Day from Oregon.
Oh, hi, Susan. How are you?
I'm getting back up again. I'm working on getting back up. So this is my question. First of all, I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse and rape, and then I moved into husbands who were abusive, and my last husband abandoned me homeless after narcissistic abuse. So I've been through abuse from beginning to end so far. And this is my question, because it was brought to my attention that this is what's happening to me, is that I'm forgetting that I'm free. I keep forgetting that I'm free from the abuse and that I can have a life without it, and I keep hiding and I keep disappearing off of social media and afraid to go outside and all of these things. And so what steps would you recommend for someone who's been through abuse her whole life and never known freedom to stay out of that headspace?
I think the steps you need to go through are the final outcome that you're looking for, Susan, is to find out who Susan is and to learn to love that person. Learn to love and forgive that person, because I know with myself, I beat myself up, whether it be shoving little Debbie cakes in my mouth, not even realizing that was a form of punishing myself. You know, staying obese was a form of punishment because I didn't forgive myself for allowing the abuse to go on so long. And it's about discovery. It's about learning who you are, what you like, what you don't like, and then getting down and figuring out why you ever allowed that to begin with, what it was, what was missing in your life, why you felt that you couldn't be in control. And it's about that discovery period. And the steps I would say to use, because as you know, I'm a writer, is use writing. If you journal every single day what you're feeling, the time of day you're feeling it, and you start looking back, that is going to give you a footprint of what exactly emotionally is going on with you. And then you can start to identify if there's certain times of the year that you get really melancholy. You know, you're going to start seeing that in your writing, and you can figure out maybe you were abused during that time of the year, or maybe that was the first time it happened to you, and you can start identifying, and then you can go get professional help. Go to someone that's licensed to help you work through those things. Don't try to do it on your own. That's my advice.
We have so many callers out there on today, and I just want to give everybody an opportunity to share their comments and ask their questions and maybe share their stories. But my advice as the host of Faith in Your Fear is to trust in the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not to your own understanding. Out of all of your ways, if you acknowledge God and let him direct your path, and you're praying and ask God to give you the insight, give you the what direction he would want you to go, and then you're praying, let him give you that inward peace that you would have, you know, peace that surpasses all understanding. And then when you begin to find a relationship with God, you can move on. You can move on, and you will know how to forgive. You will know how to even, first you have to forgive yourself. Ask God to help you forgive yourself for being in that situation.
That's right.
And then identify who you are. Acknowledge God first. Without God, none of this is not going to happen. you're just fooling me. If you think you can do it by yourself, listeners, you can't. There's no way out. The only way I recommend Jesus to you today, if you don't know him, get to know him. You can come to Christ right
That's
here on the line today. We have Pastor Smith that can share encouraging words and can bring you to the throne of God before we go off air on today. I thank you for calling in. I have so many callers on today. I want to get to all of them. God bless you. My prayers will be with you. And feel free to contact Missy, myself, or Pastor Smith, and we're here for you. God bless you, listener. Let me call her. All right, we're going
thank
to go
you,
to our last caller, and that will be, we're going to our next caller now, and that will be a caller calling from our code 601, last four digits, 0091. God bless you, Uncle. You're on the air.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Carlotta Taylor calling from
Hey, my girl.
Hey there, Missy. Hello, Miss Norma. Hello, Pastor
Hi.
Yes, so I just want to give a shout out to Misty Lane. She is an awesome, awesome overcomer, an awesome, awesome impactor. And I do have a question for you, Misty.
Yes, ma'am.
Out of all the things you've been through, which you have been through a heck of a lot, and I wasn't able to catch your whole, you know, everything that you share on this this podcast, but I do know that you have one heck of a story. So my question to you is, how do you keep going and keep saying yes? Because anything, you know, me and you have worked on a few projects before, and it's always yes. I guess vice versa, but I want to know your answer. Why do you keep going, and why do you keep saying yes to the next call?
Well, for me, Carlotta, I mean, mine's driven by the fact that I've killed someone, and I've made a vow. That's my personal thing, is that I've made a vow to go out there and ease suffering in the world, to use my mistakes, to use my failures as education and knowledge to help someone else. That's my motivation. But it's not just that. It's also about loving myself enough to be a better version of myself every day. Wake up, be better than I was yesterday. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Which is
thank
new
you
for
so
me.
Much. I really appreciate that. Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you so much for calling in. You have an awesome story as well. As a matter of fact, she was a guest on my show, I think it was last week, and she was abused by her father as a child, and she is a forgiving victim to where she had to forgive her father to even go on with her life. And you need to hear her story, how God blessed her to move ahead in life kept focusing on what she wanted to be in life, and God blessed her as well to finish and to get degrees and worked in law enforcement, child development, and she's awesome. She's awesome, and we're going to have her back as well as soon as. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to set up something here in New Orleans for her to come in, and Missy, I would like for you to come in as well as Pastor Smith, so we can be able to share these things openly in my city and abroad. You know, I really want to reach out to those victims and those the ones who live in the environment, as well as the ones, the abusers, who are causing the victims heartaches. And if you want to be healed of whatever the devil got a hold on you, the hope that Satan has on you, I encourage you that you need to pray and seek God as well. And God can help us. God can do anything but fail. He can do anything but fail, and he knows each and every one of our hearts. That's the main thing. Your heart may not be wanting to do it, but your mind and whatever you're addicted to, drugs or alcohol, can be the cause of you living in such an environment. So we want to pray for everyone out there on today, and I thank you for calling in, caller. God bless you. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. All right, we have another caller on today. And we're going to go straight to that caller. And he or she is calling from our code 203, last four digits of their phone number is 8469. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Yes. Hi. My name is Chris, and I know Misty well. And she is a true, I mean, she's resilient. I like to not say that as just a survivor, but resilient, you know, rises above. And, you know, Misty, as we know, and just everybody on that, when we look at somebody that goes through, you know, these ordeals in life, you know, Misty, talk about, you know, for me and other people listening, you know, the things that you went through, what were the blessings even during those difficult challenges? At the time you couldn't see it that way, but now you could look back that actually now that you could use in where you are today, that you could look back and say that, yes, I went through that real difficult period, but yet it was a blessing and not the way I looked at it originally as something that was tearing my life apart.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a blessing, mm-hmm. even in those really bad moments.
That's right.
It's funny, Chris. I actually have a poem in the back of my book, What Goes Up, that is exactly to that. And the name of it is You Changed Me. And it starts out, it's a before and after poem. It starts out talking about my abuser and how he changed me. He made me scared. He made me timid. He made me afraid. He made me a recluse. He did all these things to me that I allowed him to do to me. And through it all, at the end of it, as I wrote the poetry, it transformed through time, is that I thanked him for changing me. Because what he did in that process is I became a strong, resilient, confident woman with battle scars that I can wear proudly to help others with knowledge that I have empathy that I never had before, and it compassion that I never knew before. And he changed me into this unstoppable force that God is using right now. And I'm so thankful for that. So thankful for it.
Right.
There's a blessing
that's
in everything.
There's
a silver
important.
Lining everywhere.
Yeah, that is so important that people can, you know, see that, you know, during those difficult periods and these horrible things that can happen from others, how we can look at the blessings. And you are very grateful of who you are, you know, despite
Amen.
What you went through back in the day, that you could look back and you experienced the worst, and now you've experiencing the best from it.
Yeah, and it wasn't easy. I wasn't always grateful for it. It took time to be away from it long enough to look back and emerge and evolve and see that new person come out, and then I could see the blessing. But there's always a blessing there. You just have to find it.
Exactly.
God bless you. It's getting late in the show, and we do have another call.
Thank you, Chris.
And then
you're
I
welcome.
I want to thank all for calling in, and I can tell from my dashboard on today that Missy is loved by many, many people, and that she must be doing an awesome job there in her community,
thank
also
you.
Around the world. And I want to commend you on that, and a hats off to you, Missy, because, you know, a lot of people have called in, and wonderful things we're hearing about you. I want you to stay steadfast and unremovable and keep abiding in the works of God. And we only have a few more minutes left on the show. We're going to have another caller that has a question or a comment, and maybe they want to share their experience as well, okay?
Thank
All right.
You,
error code 859, last four digits, 2676. You on the air?
Hi, thank you. Hi, Misty. This is Kent Blade. How are you doing?
Hi, Swampy. How are you?
I'm doing fine, dear. And I just want to share with you guys, I'm kind of new. I actually had a contest called The Next Impactor, and I was able to meet Misty through that. And just her soul was just great, just to feel that energy. And she really makes you feel like family. And I want to also express to y'all there just the gift of God's love and what's going on. I grew up, by the way, folks, and I lost my father at 1, my mother at 12, and I grew up in an orphanage. And it was challenging. I got a chance to see kids come in and out of the orphanage, and a lot of times it involved domestic violence. Misty, I want to ask you real quick a question. I've been involved with mental health, mental wellness, okay? And
right.
And I'm working in the areas of, for example, like autism, bipolar, schizophrenia. It seems to me a lot of this people, when they're younger, they are actually abused themselves, okay?
Absolutely.
So
mm-hmm.
I just really thank you for that. But I wanted to ask you just about mental health, mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I know religion important, but mindfulness as well. And I'll get off and listen to your answer, Misty. Thanks.
Okay, sure. I know in my abuser's case, there was abuse in the household with him growing up. A lot of it is a learned behavior, but I can tell you more than that for him. He had been in and out of prison behind his own drug addiction to crack cocaine. And in the prison system, you know, they sit around, they watch shows like Jerry Springer, these really extreme shows. And a lot of his paranoia was stemmed from the cocaine. The jealousy was stemmed from the cocaine. A lot of his ideals about me being a cheater or just a no good person all came from watching shows like that. And I'll never forget when I went to therapy and I was talking to the therapist about him and all the things that were going on. And she's like, I know exactly. He has anti-personality social disorder.
Really?
And I was so excited. I said, great. What pill do we give him and fix him? There you go. There's an answer. You know? And she's like, honey, there's not a pill for that. That's a learned behavior. And I was like, oh, man. You know, I was so thrilled to think the father of my son could just take a pill and he'd be okay. But no, it's not like that. But being in and out of that prison system, he learned to be, hearing people talk about how crappy their women were, or how no good moms were, or whatever, they carry all that with them. I mean, you have to understand, being in a prison, because I lived it myself for 2.5 years, it's a whole other system. It's a whole ecosystem all on its own. And when you come out, I didn't sleep with the lights off for 3 months because I'd never had darkness in jail for 2.5 years. You know, I didn't go. It was weird for me to go to any room and shut a door because for 2.5 years I never had a door. I mean, there's all these things that come that people don't realize that come with it, and we carry those out with us. So, again, I go back to what I always say, and you know this, Ken, about me is, education is the key. We have to start educating people so we can judge less and mentor more. Judge less, mentor more. Teach
them. Am I still on, by the way?
No, you're still on. You have a couple of
more
minutes left in the show very quickly. You have another.
I'll make it real quick.
Another question. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Real quick. Thank you, Misty. It's great to find that out, to know you better. My main thing is when I got up to 50 or 60 year old, my main thing was mindfulness. If we can't be present when what's happening, okay, and we need to, then we will recreate our past. That's based on the amygdala of the brain, okay? They don't
teach you that in school.
They don't teach you that in church, okay? But in order for us to change our futures, we have to see how we're being, stop, and choose a different way of being. So, again, thanks very much.
I
want to share that with me.
Thank you.
And thank you so very much. Missy, I don't know about you, girl. Here in our in the introduction that you sent me, you said that you said to me that you was a Texas beauty queen. But I want to say to you today, you are still the queen, girl. I need a two-hour show for
you. Yes, she is.
I need a two-hour show for you. And listen, we almost, it's time for today's show to come to an end. And before we close the show, I want to thank all of my listeners for tuning in on today. Especially, I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Lane out of Texas, for an awesome, amazing, informative episode on today. She was discussing domestic survival, determination, homicide, abuse, relationship, and addiction. I want to thank all of my callers that called in. If you're still tuned in, I enjoy listening to your stories, and I pray that you contact me in the future, and you are welcome to be a guest on Facing Your Fears. But before we go, Missy, very, very quickly, I need you to give a very, very short information how they can contact you, very short, and then Pastor Smith, just give a phone number on you, and then I'll be able to end the show with my information. You all, we have like a second or two to do this. Thank you.
Okay. Well, everything for me is very simple. It's Misty Lane, MistyLayne.com, or Misty Lane at MistyLayne.com for email, or on any social media. It's all Misty Lane. Very easy.
Thank you. Thank you. It's
for
Pastor Smith alone.
Yes, I'm
Pastor,
here.
Okay.
For me,
okay, please,
for
very
me,
quickly,
you can
just a phone
reach
number.
Me quickly. 712-775-7031. The access code is 710-569-pound, and that's every Tuesday, Thursday morning, 5 a.m.
Awesome. Thank you so very much. I want to thank all of my listeners and my callers and my
thank
special
you.
Guests for tuning in on Facing Your Fears with your host, yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. You can always contact me at area code 504-333-9550. And you too can be a special guest, upcoming special guest on Facing Your Fears radio talk show. You can also contact me at norma_chapman@yahoo.com or visit my Facebook page, Norma Chapman, or the Facebook page, Facing Your Fears, or the Facebook page, What Faith Can Do, which I am the author of that book. I want to thank you all for tuning in on today. May God forever bless you, and may God keep you. We normally close with a prayer, but listeners and guests, we have to close the show at this time. God bless everyone, and I will say good afternoon to you, and do be safe out there. Goodbye now.
Thank you.